Amen. There was a man by the name of Scott Payne. For 18 months, he had been involved in an undercover operation as an FBI agent. He had infiltrated a white supremacy group. Now, this is 18 months he's been gathering evidence. Within 24 hours, the FBI was to make their big bust, wrap it up. He's in the clubhouse. The leader of the group comes in, looks to one of the enforcers, and says, take Scott, although that wasn't his name then in that group, his real name's Scott, take him down to the basement. Well, he had never been in the basement. That was off limits. That was only for full-fledged members. He was still an initiate. So he is escorted by two of these enforcers down into the basement. When they get into the basement, they draw their weapons on him. Then the leader comes downstairs. And he is commanded to strip down. We're going to search you for a wire. They had become suspicious. Now he realized, okay, death is imminent. Because he actually was wearing a wire. It had been sewn into his leather garment. And he knew if they found it, it was over. So he stripped down. They searched him. He thought it was over. He was cleared. But then one of those enforcers began to pick up his garments and feel their way through those garments. When he picked up the garment that had the hot mic in it, he started feeling. And so Scott starts, what are you guys doing? 18 months. Don't you trust me? He's trying to delay things, hoping for some way to get out of this. As he's watching this man feel down through this garment, and then he comes to the place where the microphone is woven into the fabric, and he feels right through it and keeps going. For some reason, he didn't feel. He couldn't believe it. So he drops the garment, says, he's good. At that point, he looks at him and says, this really rips into them. I can't believe you don't trust me. I've been with you for 18 months. You know I'm one of you. Went his way. All clear. Later that night, he went and got the burner phone that he has hidden away because he would call his wife every night. Even if it was 2 o'clock in the morning when he could do it, he would always call her to let her know that he was okay. She had no clue where he was. But she looked forward to hearing he was all right. That night he called her. She answers, hello, are you all right? And he knew that she sounded really disturbed. He said, what's going on? I said, I'm fine. What's wrong with you? She said, well, today the kids and I were in McAllen, because she lived in McAllen, Texas. We were driving toward town, and all of a sudden something came over me. This huge fear came. I knew something was wrong. Something was going on with you. I pulled the car off the side of the road, and I went to praying, crying out to God for him to watch over you. Scott said, he asked, well, tell me what time it was you did this. And it was exactly the time that they had carried him down into the basement and were searching his garments. Now, when I heard that story, when I heard him give that testimony, you know, it reminded me that, you know, when you pray, you can go places that you can't go in the natural. When you pray, things can happen away from you because you're praying that are supernatural. So he knew for sure that God had intervened on his behalf. But you know that sometimes when we pray, God actually shows us where we need to go, what we need to do, who we need to help. And when we do that, then supernatural help shows up there as well. Today is the third week in this series entitled, Let's Do This. We're kind of going over some of the big rocks that are in the bucket here at Grace House. We've been talking about God's calling us together to host his presence, and we experienced his presence this morning. Last week we talked about serving with God's love. When we're here, we want to serve people. Today, I want to talk to you about reaching beyond your walls. Reaching beyond your walls. I guess I could put my slide up for you. Reaching beyond your walls. We all need to realize, every one of us in this room who are believers, we've been given marching orders. That's without debate. We have been given an assignment by Jesus right before he ascended. His parting message, Matthew records it, Mark records it, Luke records it in fullness in Acts 1, Luke records it. And it's the Great Commission. The marching orders of the church. Grace House is not exempt. And here it is. Jesus, before he ascends, it says, "Then Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on the earth." Who has the authority, all of it? Jesus. Now, you remember when Jesus was tempted and Satan came to Jesus and said, all these nations I'll give to you if you'll fall down and worship. And Jesus didn't rebuke him for the offer, because when Adam sinned, that authorized the enemy to move with authority in the earth. But now Jesus has died, he's been buried, he's been raised from the dead, he's about to ascend, and he makes the announcement, I, as the second Adam, I'm back in charge now. And he says, I have all authority, therefore go. Because he has the authority, he now has delegated it to his bride, the church, to go. Go where? Into all the nations. Make disciples of all nations. Mark says, preach the gospel to every creature. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. We're to make disciples of all the nations. We're to baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And we are to teach them to observe all things whatsoever Jesus commanded them to do. Jesus is speaking to the 11. But what he says transcends the 11 and includes us as well. How do I know? By how he ends that. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. The age has not ended. Those original disciples, they've gone on to be of the Lord, but the mandate to his church lingers on. We're still under it. We are still under this mandate to reach beyond our walls. I love when we come together. We come together to worship. We come together, we fellowship. We come together and we get equipped. But then we are to be mobilized and deploy and go out there and seek and save those who are lost and bring them to Jesus, or lead them to Jesus, and then bring them here to worship or get them involved somewhere with God's people worshiping. That's very, very important. This is the marching orders that we are under. So let me share quickly three musts, if you will, when we think about reaching beyond our walls. And it's more than just praying, but it's praying, seeking God's guidance, being led by the Holy Spirit, and then going. Some translations say, as you go, you know, in your daily life, in your daily walk, we need to be listening to Holy Spirit, knowing that he can use us to reach beyond our walls. First thing, we must choose compassion over comfort. One thing that does the elbow drop on us and shuts us down and keeps us, if you will, hemmed in so we're not courageously stepping out and sharing Jesus in our day-to-day lives is that we're quite comfortable just doing what we've done already here today. Coming together and worshiping and enjoying God's presence and fellowshipping with God's people. I love it. I really do. But that's not all we're called to do. We're called to get out of the box, so to speak. Go beyond the walls and be influencers for Christ in the lives of people who are lost. I read something staggering this past week because I'm doing a lot of research and study on about how people are being influenced to take the step to become involved in a fellowship of believers, a church. There was a study done of over 50,000 people, and some of them had recently been first-time church attenders, but there were thousands of them. They were asking them, you know, what would influence you to maybe attend a church service? 75% to 85%, there were a number of studies done, including this big one, but if you kind of look at the range of these different studies, 75% to 85% of those people said that they would be likely to attend a church service if a friend or a family member would invite them to attend. You know another staggering thing that came out of that study? They studied people in churches and found out that just a little over 2% of the people who regularly attended church services in a year's time, only about a little over 2% of them would actually invite a friend to church. Isn't that something? One of the things that is the most effective in getting people into an atmosphere where the gospel is being preached or where they can encounter God's love and learn about living a life to honor God, one of the most effective things is you and I inviting our friends and inviting our family, inviting people we work with. One of the most effective ways. And yet, it's one of the things that the church does less than the other things. It said only about 3% come because of marketing. Now, that doesn't mean that the marketing doesn't make people aware they're here, but then so that when someone asks them, oh, I've seen that, I've heard about that, I'll go. So we need to be doing things to let people know, hey, we welcome you to come worship. Why? Because we want them to come to know the Lord. We want them to live strong Christian lives. We want them to be involved in exporting the gospel to the world, to the nations. Sometimes we're just too comfortable. We don't want to be inconvenienced. But let me tell you something. If God's going to use you, He's going to stretch you. Ask any woman who's had a child that's become pregnant. There's a lot of stretching, a lot of discomfort, and a lot of pain involved in birthing something. And it's true in the spiritual realm. What God's wanting to do in your life, bring forth in your life, bring to birth in your life, it's going to require some stretching. You're going to be stretched. It's going to be uncomfortable. Well, I don't like to talk about the Lord. Well, you're still commanded to share Jesus. You shall be witnesses when Holy Spirit comes upon you. We're not really following and being led by Holy Spirit if we're not letting our light shine and sharing the love of Christ with other people. And sometimes you don't know the difference just a smile on your face. Just sharing the joy of the Lord. You can win people without a word, so to speak. They may start asking you, why do you have so much joy? How can you be peaceful with everything that's going on? Hence, that's Holy Spirit working. You begin to say, you know what? Jesus helps me. He's my rock. My life wasn't this way until I met Him. Would you like to hear a little bit more about Him? Being a witness. Being willing to be stretched. How many people in your sphere of influence don't know the Lord? How many of them have you encouraged to come to church with you? I remember one Sunday here, it's been a while back, a young Asian man came up for prayer. And I mean, the Lord just came upon him. The joy of the Lord came upon him. And it was very powerful. Afterwards, he shared what happened. He said, I don't live nearby, but I have a friend in another state that I've been talking to about the Lord and the things of the Lord, and I've been hungry for more. And my friend in another state encouraged me to go to Grace House in Florence, Alabama. I don't know who his friend was. Well, he talked to a couple of his buddies, and his buddies came with him to church because he was hungry to know more about the Holy Spirit. Well, the Sunday he came, I just happened to be preaching a message entitled, The Holy Spirit for Everyday Believers. And I talked about being empowered by the Holy Spirit. So he comes up during the altar time, and I laid hands on him, and immediately he just bursted out speaking in tongues. Joy came on him. And it was just one of those really neat God moments, and he was so blessed. But you see, here's what the Lord did. The Lord laid on a friend's heart to talk to him and encourage him to come. He had a couple of other friends that when he talked about it, they said, we'll go with you. And all three of them ended up here. And then when I was preparing the message for that particular Sunday, the Lord laid that message on my heart. So the Holy Spirit was all over that, and I believe at the heart of that was the hunger of that young man. You never know what the Holy Spirit's up to, but we need to become more sensitive because he will use you. He will work through you. When I was going through one of the most difficult, painful seasons that I've ever gone through in my life, I was at home one day. I had a knock on the front door. I go and open the door, and there stood a man. I knew him. I'd been his pastor for a number of years. Hadn't seen him in several months. He stood there, and I knew him. He's a man's man. He worked hard. You just realize he didn't just have a whole lot as far as worldly goods and stuff, but an honorable man of integrity, hardworking man. And he didn't say much. He didn't talk a whole lot. I opened the door, and there he stood. He said, Brother Eddie, you got a minute? I said, yeah, come on. He said, no, I don't come in. And he said, I went to the door, and he just reached, and he grabbed me and gave me a hug. And he looked at me and said, I want you to know I love you, brother. And then he said, I don't want to take any more of your time. And he reached out, and he had four $100 bills in his hands, and he just stuffed it in my hands. He said, I'll see you. I said, well, come on in. No, don't want to take any more, and went his way. Well, the money, that was a blessing, but it was insignificant compared to him looking me in the eyes and saying, I love you. He told me he's praying for me. You never know how much somebody needs that encouraging word. And I just charge you as your pastor this morning, when you're working, when you're at school, when you're in the marketplace, when you're in a restaurant, whether it's the person serving you or meeting someone in the aisle at the supermarket, be sensitive to Holy Spirit, because you may be right in the middle of a divine setup if you'll just be sensitive and be willing to be stretched. Lest I forget to tell you this, I encourage you to begin asking God to use you. Asking God to help you be more sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Well, but I'm not a preacher. I'm not an elder. I'm not an evangelist. I don't know a lot of things. Listen, are you a child of God? Jesus said, my sheep, that would be you, hear my voice, and I know them. He will speak to you. He'll give you those holy hunches, those promptings of Holy Spirit, and he will use you. Sometimes it just might be a smile. It might be a word. It might be the Lord told me to give this to you. It might be baking a cake. It might be someone you've never met and you'll never meet again. But you might be that messenger God's wanting to use to talk to that person so heaven can be populated. You can make that difference. And how exciting for us to realize if we would all do more of this, there'd be more people getting saved, more people being equipped, more people being sent to the mission field, more people planting churches, more people raising godly families. There can be marriages that are healed, that are on the brink of collapse. There can be prodigals that we prayed about this morning who will start coming home. There will be people who are sick because you're speaking into life and you're willing to be bold enough to lay hands on them and pray that you'll see healed. And on the kingdom of heaven grows. You and I are under a mandate to be led by Holy Spirit and make sure the good news of Jesus makes its way into the hearing and lives of people we live around and people we've never met. And that's where missions comes in. Choose compassion over comfort. And the way that we get motivated to do this is you begin to pray, God, help me love people the way you love them. Help me see people the way you see them. Help me look through all the labels we've created, all the judgments. Help me just see that soul that needs you. There's nobody so messed up that Jesus can't unmess them up. Right? He can turn it around. He can transform them. Another thing, let me share briefly. We must choose purpose over preference. You know, the way God wants to use you, it may not always be what you prefer to do. I'm telling you, God will ask you to do some things that's not on your day timer. He'll ask you to do some things that you don't want to do. I prefer not. But when he's Lord and you're not, and you're his child and you're to do his bidding, then you have to have a heart that says, Lord, I'd rather not do this, but I must do it because you're leading me to do it. And if you're leading me to do it, then you'll empower me to do it. Think of those scriptures. I must needs go through Samaria. That was taboo for Jesus. But it was what the Father had for him that day. And thank God that woman at the well got saved. The crowd's pressing in. Who touched my garment? The woman with the issue of blood. Jesus taught the principle of leaving the 99 to rescue the one. Sometimes we just want to live here with the herd, the flock. And there's that one out there that the Lord's wanting you to go touch, wanting you to go reach. You see that? The Zacchaeus up in a tree. And on it goes through the scriptures. Purpose over preference. In Acts 8, there's the scripture for you. The Holy Spirit said to Philip, go near and overtake the chariot. This is the story. Philip's up in Samaria. In the middle of harvest, Jesus said, okay, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria. Philip was on that Samaria, went up there, started preaching the gospel. Folks are getting saved left and right. They're getting delivered from demons left and right. The apostles eventually go up there. They start being baptized in the Holy Spirit. I mean, it is harvest time in Samaria. And in the middle of that move of God that Philip initiated, the Lord says, Philip, actually, an angel of the Lord appeared to Philip and said, go out in the desert. Now, who does that make sense to? Hey, wait a minute, Lord. We're in the middle of a big revival here. See all these folks? The kingdom is happening here. And you want me to go where? Nowheresville? Desert? I mean, you'd be tempted to start rebuking demons, except for that big old angel standing there telling you. Philip obeys him, goes out there. And it's the middle of Nowheresville, and you can see him kind of scratching his head and pulling his beard. What is going on? And then Holy Spirit says, see that chariot? Now it's time. Then he approaches the Ethiopian eunuch who's reading Isaiah 53. He preaches Jesus, says, here's water, baptizes him in a water hole, and the eunuch goes on his way rejoicing, and Philip gets divinely transported somewhere else, which is a cool ride. But where was the Ethiopian going, reckon? Ethiopia. You see, your preference would be, I'm going to stay in the middle of this revival. But see, God had a purpose. When that Ethiopian, who was a high-up government official, went back to Ethiopia, he is now an exporter of the good news of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. In other words, he carried the gospel into the continent of Africa. God saw something much bigger than Philip could see. And thank God for people who do that. Whether it's Mark and Robin in Guatemala right now, Tim and Cindy who go to Kenya and India, or Eric and Cameron who just back from a tour through a number of nations, leaving here to go there. Why? Seeking and saving the lost. Purpose over preference. Again, God's going to stretch you. It may not be comfortable, and it may not be what you prefer. But you may be missing an opportunity to see heaven poured out on earth. Lastly, let me finish up here. Let me talk about how we must also choose power over passivity. And here's the thing. You know, I don't know. I'm not that courageous. I don't know what to do. Here's the good news. Jesus said, and you shall receive power, dunamis, that is power, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be witnesses. When it comes to breaking barriers, crossing borders, and reaching beyond the walls of our life, we have divine help. Jesus taught that we get an assist from Holy Spirit, that He will empower us to be witnesses. You may not have a seminary degree. You may not have been to Bible college. You may be freshly saved. The paint's not even dry. But you got a testimony of how Jesus died for your sins, was buried, and God raised Him from the dead. And you've experienced the new birth. And now the burden's gone. You feel new. You feel alive. That guilt is gone. You can share that, and somebody else can find that because you did. Because Holy Spirit helps you. We can be passive and just have a mentality like, you know, if God will lasso me and get 100 angels to pull me out of my seat, I might do it. No, He wants us to hear the still, small whispers of Holy Spirit. Here I am, Lord. Private Lawrence, reporting for duty. Here I am, Lord. Send me, Isaiah cried. Our worship team is coming. Day or two ago, I love listening to my former pastor, Dr. Rogers, Adrian Rogers. He's gone to be with the Lord. And I remember hearing, I pulled up a message that I didn't know that this was the message, but I remember hearing him preach it, where he told about when he was out of high school. He was quite a football player. And, you know, like he could get a college scholarship and football might be his future. And he was really praying, but God had saved him, and God was dealing with him. And he's like, football, you know. But he finally got to that place where, okay, Lord, football's not my life, Jesus, You are, because God was dealing with him. He said he went out onto the football field where they played and they practiced, and no one was there. Went out there, I think it was about dusk. He's in the middle of the field. Lord, use me. Use me, Lord. He said, I didn't feel quite low enough, so I got down on my knees there in the middle of that field and just knelt on my knees, and I said, Lord, use me. Use me. He said, it still didn't feel quite low enough, so he said, I spread-eagled on the turf, on the grass. I laid out before the Lord, and I said, Lord, use me, Lord. Use me. He said it, and it still didn't feel low enough. He said, I took my hand, and I scooped some of that turf out of the way, and I put my face in that hole and buried my nose in that dirt. I got dirt in my nostrils, and he said, I cried out, oh, God, I'm as low as I know how to get. Use me. Please use me. You see, that's the place of total surrender. That's the place where, Lord, I'm willing to go let go of everything else to take hold of what You have for me, for my life. And he said, as a Baptist preacher, he said, when that happened, now I didn't speak in tongues. There wasn't fireworks, but something got a hold of me and got down in me when I stood up. I knew what my life was going to look like. He became, I believe, one of the greatest preachers in the modern era. You see, we have to become committed. Last week we saw we love Him because He first loved us. That love's got to get a hold of us so much that when we see the lost, our heart moves with compassion. And our willingness to move past our comfort zone and brush aside our preferences and fulfill God's purpose for our life becomes prominent in our lives. And we also come to the place where we humble ourselves before God. Lord, I can't, but you can. I don't have what it takes. He said, when he got up, he said, I didn't know much of the Bible. I didn't know who came first, Noah or Abraham. He said, I didn't know. I just knew that God was dealing with me. Don't worry about what you don't know. You focus on who you know. And who you know will give you what you need for those things you're going to face you don't even know about yet. But be faithful and committed. I want you to stand with me this morning. Our prayer team members are coming forward. And I challenge you this morning to pray this prayer. I challenge you to pray this prayer. Lord, use me. I challenge you to consecrate yourself by making this decision. Here I am, Lord. Send me. Here I am, Lord. Use me. And perhaps you're the one instead of in the group of the 99 and you don't know Jesus today. I challenge you to give your life to Christ today, who died for you, was buried, whom God raised from the dead, and who even now is waiting for you to come to him, who's calling you. You're here today because God's after you. Yield. Surrender. Cave in. Give in. He is Lord. You are not. You're a sinner who needs to be saved. We're all sinners, saved by grace of God. You need Jesus, and I invite you to come. We have people here who will pray with you. Oh, Holy Spirit, now sweep across this audience. Light our hearts of fire. Help us, Lord, to do the simple thing of talking to our friends about you. Doing the simple thing of inviting someone to come worship with you. Would you do that? Those of you in need of prayer, come on up right now from where you are. We're going to sing just a moment before you're released to go. Would you come as we sing? These here will pray with you. Whatever burden you have, whatever need you're in the middle of, he is more than able. Come to Jesus. With your love, invite somebody. What happened if all of us just invited someone this week to come and join us for worship? Would you do that? Can we give the Lord a hand today? He has blessed us with his presence. Ponder these truths from his word. Go get them in Jesus' name. Love you all. Blessings. We had a word that someone during our worship saw, literally tongues over people's heads. So if you're here and you've been hungry for the baptism of the Holy Spirit and you have not received that, come on up. It'd be a great time to receive prayer.